It's Tuesday night, April 13th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting here tonight. That there would be a flow of your spirit, flow of your truth, O Lord. We yearn for your truth. We want it. So, Lord, that you would grant us the desires of our heart. And if we should be wayward, and I suppose, you know, we are in some respects, on some occasions. Lord, draw us in that narrow path. Draw us in that narrow path. Even should we walk, draw us in that narrow path by your Spirit, Lord. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
I saw, you know, you're talking about, I saw that my grandpa Frank, my dad's dad, he died in 1965, which means that at 65 I was either in Seattle or just coming back from Seattle. So I don't know anything about his funeral. And he lived to be 77. So anyway, I don't know why I did that. I did it for a reason, but I don't know why. You know, all day today, I have thought about the deliverance. You know what God wants us to do in deliverance, and the thing that we got to realize is that we're working with people, and we're working with spirits. And the Spirit says, after he is cast out of a person, he says, I will return. I will return to my house. So, it tells us that they have a will, a determination, that they're going to make a decision, they're going to do something. And, so we're dealing with a spirit, and we're dealing with a person who has a spirit. So it takes a lot of understanding and wisdom on our part if we're doing deliverance. You know what I mean? We don't see that from the scriptures, because the kind of deliverance that we're doing is not really, you don't see much said about it in the scriptures. Do we? Are you familiar with anything in the scriptures that agrees or that tells about this deliverance?
Where what?
About this type of deliverance that we ran into.
It's hard to say one way or another.
Yeah, I'm having a real hard time talking, but it'll come here for you here in a minute.
You know, the seven sons of Sceva, it kind of suggests that there would have been a struggle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We, of course, we don't know. It's a different deal. But it does suggest that deliverance involves a struggle.
When we got out, you know, when we had that deliverance with you, and that one is really stands out in my mind. I think of a girl in Seattle that they were praying for, and they asked me to come. And not that I was able to do anything or help her anything, but I remember, and this was a Vicky as well, but her eyes, she had big, beautiful eyes. And her eyes, you could see the blood veins standing out in her eyes. During that deliverance, I remember that really well. And it's like you were talking to a different person. We're not dealing with a person, we're dealing with a spirit. Or we're dealing with something strange, something weird. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, there was something incomplete about what we did at that time.
Yes, it was.
And I think we can look forward to a greater ministry there, just as we can look forward to a greater move of love in which there is 1 Corinthians 13. And I imagine they'll be blended some way, you know, both love and deliverance. And people weren't just all that much different after deliverance than they were before. And I think that'll be different. People will be different. It'll be pretty clear to anyone who watches someone for a few minutes that this person has been cleansed of an evil spirit.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about a lot of the deliverances and stuff that we went through, but every time I see Vicky, she makes a comment about it. I heard what that deliverance had done for her. And I think, what exactly happened? You know, only she knows. I don't really know what happened.
Yeah. I guess my comment isn't to say everybody would have been true, but it was common enough that there wasn't all that big a difference between.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't say, in each case, but.
Well, the thing that separated the kind of deliverance that came from Chippewa Falls versus what was going on in Community Chapel, Seattle, was a patience issue. And that's what I think we need to learn that we got to be patient with what we're doing. You know, love is patience. In this case, especially in this case, we got to take our time. We got to not be in a hurry. If anyone knows that we're in a hurry, it's a demon. Try to cast a demon out when he knows you don't have time to handle it. Anyway, if you guys get talking, I can untangle this.
Well, I do. It was a crafty deal. I think they threw up little demons in hopes that people who wanted to get this thing over with quick anyway would say, okay, we got it taken care of now. You know, we did our work.
Yeah. Well, we never completed it, and I'm aware of that. And I think some people right now are beginning in a different degree of deliverance. Lord, help me. Help me to untangle my mouth at this moment. Please help me. And I know what I want to say, and I can't say it. Help me out.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I think it was interesting how the church had moved from deliverance, which is wanting someone to be free, and then moved into a move of love, which I think was sort of where the emphasis moved for many people. A thought occurred to me. I don't believe, and I'm speculating, I don't believe that the 12 disciples or the apostles were demon-free.
What?
Were demon-free. I'm sure they They were not perfect. They had problems. And yet, we don't hear a lot, or I don't recall a lot of scripture that talks about them praying for one another.
That's funny. I thought of that the other day, too. There's no instances where they were praying for each other. Or Jesus praying for them for that reason.
Doesn't mean anything. It's just interesting. They were sent out to go free the saints. I mean, however you want to interpret the Great Commission, even though the wording is wrong, I think the intent there was to go and pray for the brethren going forward.
What happened on March 15th, 1982 was not an accident.
Oh, no, clearly not.
No, it was a purposeful intent thing that God set up. And
there it is.
So what was it? How do you describe it from the scriptures? You can't really.
You can't describe what from the scriptures.
What happened to us on that night? What happened? You can't describe it from the scriptures. I don't know any scripture that says what we had, what happened that night.
No, that's right. You would have expected maybe Paul to have talked to the Corinthian church about
somebody,
something like that, but there's nothing there.
Well, when a father brought a son and he was manifesting, or he started manifesting in the presence of Jesus or whatever. If the presence of God was in the church and he wanted somebody to manifest, he made him manifest so that somebody would pray for him. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sound kind of like what happened?
Yeah.
I guess, that was discerning of spirits. In relation to you're saying that Jesus didn't pray for the disciples, there was the time when, the disciples, we weren't told that they were troubled by demons. There was a time when Jesus said to Peter,
keep your eyes on
me. Yeah, the one.
Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
I'm sorry, I was thinking of a different setting.
I pray for you that your strength will, your faith will hold. I think I'm getting across. What was said there.
Yeah.
Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
And then Paul, he didn't really say that, but in a way what he said in the 7th chapter of Romans sounded like he was asking for deliverance himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, who shall deliver me from this wretched flesh?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what deliverance is.
Mm-hmm.
I've often thought about that fateful day in March, as we've been talking, and as you've been kind of reviewing things with your family on Zoom and stuff. It was because what was interesting to me, as someone who came in after and was listening to the leading of the Lord and how it had taken place in the church, was the comment about, Betty and Rodney were already, had gotten some of this vision and insight, but you were kind of like going, well, that's right, you go ahead and do that. I'll watch from over here kind of thing. And I always took what happened on that day was, because the comment, the first thing, Betty and Rodney said that someone was manifesting, and they said with discernment, go tell Keith about it. Keith goes down there, and that demon looks you square in the eye and calls you out. Okay, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
And so I looked at that. In my mind, as this was being told to me, I was like, the Lord said it was time for you not to stay on the sidelines anymore.
Close to a year, they had been telling me about strange things that were going on. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can understand that. I heard it. Doors were opening up and weird things were happening in their houses. And I thought, well, it could be just a wind blowing. There could be just lots of things.
Mm-hmm. It is funny. Betty was most definitely the go-to person if you had some issue along those lines. It was, you go see Betty. You go see Betty. And she did. You know, she ministered effectively.
She knew that I didn't believe her.
Well, and so it was totally out of character for the situation for her to have instructed someone to, no, don't raise this with me, raise it with Keith. That was totally, totally 180 degrees.
That was out of her.
But where were we?
Way of doing things.
You were in the church that you were pastoring, and totally it was your responsibility. And God wasn't going to let you off the hook.
No.
And God had used people, and the demons were ready. So, but it.
Betty had to have been really prompted by the Holy Spirit to do what she did, because it was totally different from the pattern.
Well, I'm sure she was.
Yeah.
The night that we witnessed to Steve Fay, Steve and Beverly, it was his wife in the name of Beverly. And that was some real verbal abuse. But there was nothing compared to what I got from Vicki that night. You SOB. You phony, you hypocrite. I tell you what, most of those things were true. But I wouldn't say that they were, but they were. The demon wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. And that's what hurt more than anything. And I took some verbal abuse from 9:30 till 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, then they came and prayed for me, laid hands on me. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know as quick what had happened as Vicki did. The spirit of Vicki knew immediately what had happened. And where she was intimidating me, she said, get him away from me, get him away from me. And that's what we had for the rest of until 10 o'clock at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And that was totally out of character for you.
Yeah.
You would, totally out of character for you to have turned around and responded with power and strength. That was not you.
The Spirit of the Lord came on me. It was not natural. Nothing was natural for a month.
Since I've been sitting here, I had questions coming into my head. So, why does a demon come out?
You know what? Because of the name of Jesus. I don't think any other reason that they come out. But they have residence in a person, and they claim it as their house, according to the scripture in Matthew and in Luke. He repeats the same thing twice. And it was only said once, but we see it twice. And it says, when an unclean spirit had gone out of a man, he wandered around through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from whence I came out. So he claims a person as his dwelling place.
So what change is that?
How do we prevent that from occurring?
Oh, what change? Yeah, what? I mean, I'm sitting here kind of wondering, like, so it's the name of Jesus Christ. Well, it isn't just the name of Jesus Christ. There has to be authority behind the name of Jesus Christ. And it's like, so if we have to keep battling with them, is it because we're lacking in faith, or it's, you know, why can that demon sit there and keep resisting when we're coming against him in the name of Jesus?
He's not
supposed to be able to do that, is he?
Well, you wouldn't think so. From what we see in the scriptures, you wouldn't think so.
I mean, I'm just trying to get at why it's why we take so long all the, like, some, you know, I mean, I not, and they, I know we can go and we can get into schematics. Well, Jesus said within the hour. Well, if it only was an hour, I'd be happy every time, you know, right? So it's like, so somehow, I'm thinking, if you come with the Spirit of God and authority, if you believe that or you have it, why should they be able to stand? Or if the person, the only other thing it would be if the person isn't willing to let it go. That would be one way of why it wouldn't come out, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm kind of thinking, you know, so like, sometimes, hey, we got to kind of let people know that they're kind of part of the thing too, within themselves. You know, they got to be willing. And almost all those cases, I mean, the child doesn't necessarily know, but the father knew. They were coming willingly. You know, they knew that I got this thing, and this guy, he's getting rid of that stuff. You know, and so are some of his workers. You know, his disciples. So there's a part of faith, you know, and
let me respond some here too, okay? You know, Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know. He is promising a wrestling match there. He's talking about a wrestling match. And for myself, there was something right and good about an extended wrestling match. There was. You know,
Didn't it take you a while to figure out that it was a spirit?
Well, yeah. And there's a process for the person who's being delivered.
Now he's talking about when he's praying for somebody.
Both, really. But for the prayer,
I got crazy thoughts popping in, okay?
Yeah, so,
but is that like because we want to earn it? So if we pray longer, we feel like we get our job? When we're not even really part of it anyways, necessarily, you know, we are there acting as an agent for the Lord.
I don't know.
You know, and
Jacob,
I'll tell you,
wrestled with the angel until the break of the day.
Yeah.
I, you know.
Some wrestling matches are over in the first round, too, so,
yeah.
You know.
Some deliverances are too much.
Yeah,
you kind of expect a process. If there are 1,000 tentacles that demon has in the person who's getting prayed for,
and you call it out,
it's poof, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know what?
It took a while. So
huh?
It took a while. Now in the future we'll be operating with great authority, and it won't take a while. But it took a while.
I mean,
battle was bona fide.
I think, don't keep talking about how it's going to take longer. Just if it comes and it takes longer, fine. But otherwise, let's get rid of it. Let's not think about time. Let's think about authority.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if you to me, some of this is making excuses. Sorry. And you can rebuke me for that. You know? And if I'll make excuses if I'm lacking in faith. You know? Or I'll admit to being lacking in faith. If it's, you know.
I think that Charlie has been very effective in deliverance over the years. And one of the reasons is for is you make the person feel like you're on their side. You know what I mean? Whatever it would take, however long it takes.
You know, it was interesting as an example, that night we were praying for that gal. I came later. And you guys had already had some success. And you were
what gal was it?
The gal that had the husband, you know.
That, oh, here.
Yeah, here in the living room, remember that?
Yeah.
And then and I was just, you know, praying on the side, not involved in it. And then they were kind of done. And then I heard her saying a few things, and I went, oh, no, this guy just fooled us for a while. Not all of it. I mean, there was success. And then I, along with some other, we came back at it again, and it flared up, you know. It was like it was hiding, you know. And I just, there happened to be discernment from the Lord. Otherwise, you know, I didn't know. But, so I don't, you know, it's just, well, discernment makes a big difference, you know. It's, now, I think we had success with that, but that doesn't mean she was completely released, you know. Like all of us, I mean, it doesn't mean everything comes out at one time, but we don't really, the sad part, we don't really know because they got shipped out and, you know, we didn't get to hear any after results. Mm-hmm.
That's right, we don't know. Which, you know, you're talking about the demon that leaves the house and then comes back with seven. I think if we have authority to cast that demon out, we should have authority to lock the door to that house,
mm-hmm.
so that the demon cannot return.
It's kind of like send it. No, you aren't going to be coming back.
Right, but that should be part of our.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
Part of our deliverance.
And have the person agree to it also.
Yes, right, right, yes.
Well, and even in Legion, so
yeah.
The demons didn't come back. They went into the swine.
Right.
The swine went off.
Well, they didn't want to. They said, yeah, they kind of what that demon said. I don't want to. We don't want to be wandering.
Yeah, right.
Send us somewhere, and okay, so he sends him into the pigs, knowing that he's going to send the pigs into the lake.
Right.
Knowing he's going to send them back.
Yeah,
right.
And when that host dies, well, they're out of it. I think that pretty well does them in, you
but
know,
I,
for
I
the
think,
most part.
But I think we are saying, given what we know and what this scripture says, we're going to take authority when praying with someone to prevent that from happening, because we know that is what can happen if we're not careful.
Yep.
You know, when I look at the scripture and think about this, I mean, there's no argument that people need deliverance. There's no argument that we have demons and that we're not walking in perfection. You know, but the examples given in the scriptures, I think every time, maybe there's one or two exceptions, but the person who comes before the Lord is manifesting. It's not a,
right.
It's not a, let's see what we can rile up prayer time. There's a person who has a demon that is manifesting. And you asked the question, Ken, rightly, why? And I don't know. I mean, I'll speculate that we know, because if we get really serious for God, and we start praying earnestly, and we get into the Word earnestly, and we start loving one another earnestly, that that does not sit well with the enemy. That behavior will cause demons to manifest. And so, I mean, I think we're on the path of doing the things we need to do only because we want to be more right with God. But whatever demonic forces that are still buried or hidden or whatever, they will manifest because of what we're doing.
You know, and it wasn't at that time, there was a lot of prayer going on, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and so God starts honoring, you know, and he says, hey, you know what? I believe these people are serious for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come in and do some cleansing, you mm-hmm. know. And I think if we start praying for that, we want God to move. We want to, you know, we want things to be cleansed. We don't want the enemy to have his way. I think he'll come in. His spirit will move, and things will start happening. Yeah. And you know.
And the flip side to what I'm saying about someone manifesting, there are people that need prayer, and they don't know it. But if God puts it on your heart that there's an area, by all means, you know, if God gives you leading.
Yeah.
We respond to that too. God, you know. Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the only caveat I have there is before I start waylaying into somebody for a demon, I want to be really clear what I heard. That I heard from the right spirit. You know, I wasn't being bamboozled or being manipulated by an angel of light. You know, but I think, you know, as I try and look at what we were given as a pattern, people who were manifesting Jesus delivered, or people were manifesting Jesus helped whoever it was by someone saying, can you help my son? Can you help my daughter? I mean, they knew what it was, and they knew he had the power that he could do something about it. And I think I want to be right there. If someone is in need of a deliverance, and I'm there, I'm going to answer that call.
I just thought of that scripture in Mark where about Jesus working with them.
Yeah.
See, if Jesus is coming there and working with you, you know what? You'll probably get manifestations.
Yeah.
You know.
Confirming the word.
Yeah.
You think?
I mean, I know the Spirit. We'd have a service and somebody give up and give a testimony about it or what, and somebody would start manifesting. Remember that? And then when you went out to Seattle and you were just preaching on it, it caused because God was ready to do some work, you know.
It's pretty good going on. Wasn't it?
Darlene Moyer.
Yeah.
That was a prayer warrior of Don Burnett's. She was standing right behind him and he had a lapel mic on his head. And she says, you hypocrite. You're son of a gun. I want to stronger language than that. And everybody could hear it. It went right over his mic.
Oh, yeah, it was Mike.
And
that was ordained by the Lord, I suppose.
Yeah, that was ordained. Before we knew what happened, there were 500 deliverances going on. What a mess.
Poor Don Burnett.
And
And there was a girl. That was exactly what God wanted. Because poor Don Burnett had
a
problem.
Girl,
and God took care of
her. There was a girl down at the front, and she was praying like they do, you know, like we used to see a lot of times. And here she was praying, and I just prayed in tongues, maybe, I don't know. And I said, you know, that girl there needs deliverance. And Don said, no, he's a prayer warrior. And so the next night, when he wasn't looking, I looked around to see, make sure she was down there doing her thing. I went and put my hand on her, and she came apart at the seams. And we prayed for her for deliverance for a while. But you know what? I don't know anything about these people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like over in Seattle, in Switzerland, I don't know. We prayed for him, but did we do good or not? I don't know.
Well, I'm encouraged that the Lord has put it on your heart.
Yeah.
We need to be prepared.
Well,
and we should expect that these things will happen in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that's
what we need to, what we need to do is have Betty come to one of our services and tell us what's going on. Because over in where Kathy Shelley told her, Kathy told me today what her married name is. She's married to Don. He's a Seattle policeman. But anyway, he's they're in some form of deliverance right now, is what they do. And so this might be related to I said his name here. The tall thin guy.
Think of Jamie Hansen?
Yeah, Jamie Hansen. I don't know if he's thin anymore, but he was.
Well, Keith, I don't think we need to send for anybody.
Huh?
I don't think we need to be sending for anybody.
We need to be praying for God. But I'm saying, for Betty, it would be good for Betty to tell us what they're doing. Because they're in deliverance, but it's a little bit different than what we're used to. And I think it's an update of what we know, and it may be an answer, I don't know.
In connection with what you were saying, Corky, about approaching people and bringing deliverance on, but wanted to make sure you hear from the Lord on this thing. I think if you ask if you can pray with someone, that's not as controversial a deal. You know, and you do that, and the Spirit of the Lord's there, and it creates some manifestations that you can glide right into deliverance real easy. You go from prayer to deliverance. And,
I totally agree. But I mean, if you're just praying, and God honors it, and there's a reaction, and there's a manifestation,
yeah.
You're kind of saying, well, gee, I think that's the sign.
I
certainly understand.
But you might still want to be somewhat diplomatic.
I'm diplomatic when it's more of me leading. You know, when I'm sure God is leading, I'm not so diplomatic. And I think that's just, when you know, you know. And so I think the problem that we have to worry or just be careful of is, and I say it all the time, and I'm sorry, but I just want to make sure that I'm not trying to be the rudder on the ship or the captain of the ship. I'm happy, following the Lord's lead and doing what He wants of me to do, not deciding this is where we're going. And, the Lord can tell me where we're going. I'm totally on board about that. And we get leadings and unctions, and I spent years waiting for the leadership to figure out that they were going down the wrong path, and the answer to me was you have to put it on a shelf, and God'll straighten it out. And so patience, we need to have a little bit of patience and how we approach some of this, but the Lord has put this on Keith's heart. I am not going to dismiss that. Although I guess I want to tack on something you said, Ken. I think the Lord has shown Betty something that's important for Betty and where she is. What the Lord has shown Betty may or may not apply to us.
And it may apply.
I said may or may not.
Yeah.
You can say it may and I can say it may not.
Yeah.
So, it may or may not, I don't know. I think we could certainly have a discussion, but I don't think one size fits all. I don't think God treats us exactly the same here, outside of Elizabeth.
So, in other words, the demons right around here are different than the ones out there.
Well, I think that's probably true.
Or, must be a different God out there than here.
Oh, yeah, that could be the difference.
So, I'm saying it's the same God, so...
We are coming from different places. You'd expect some are different. On the other hand, she certainly might have some things to say that would be helpful.
Well, I tell you what happened, what you has bothered me for years. We got to hurry up and get it done.
Well, yeah,
let's hurry up to deliver it, get done with the thing. Get rid of it once and for all. That's Don Burdett.
Well,
I shouldn't say the name, but...
But do you really think we were afflicted by that?
Yes.
Oh,
I don't know that we were here, but certainly the church in Seattle.
Well, the church in general was affected by it.
Yeah.
Well.
Remember that tall, skinny guy that went from here out to Bible college? Him and his brother went out. What was his name? You put over deliverance.
I think that was before my time, Keith.
No.
He was part of this body, then went out to Seattle?
We sent him out to Seattle. Him and his brother.
I don't know.
I know it was before
my time.
Is that much. Is the name as important as what the point is?
You know, but the thing is that I had some real interesting talk with him, and he said that a lot of people in Seattle said that we were a lot happier with the Chippewa Falls form of deliverance than Don Burnett wanted to get it over with, get it done and get it over with, right now.
Well, I suppose if you authority, you do it in authority, you speak the word and it's done.
Well, what if you don't have that authority?
I'm not subscribing to that way of dealing with things, but that would be the.
But you don't. You know what his problem was? Impatience. A lot of impatience.
Can we fall into a little ditch of impatience about getting into it also and hurrying?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I want to say. I am really trying to not go into ditches, you know, this time. I'm really trying to seek the Lord and just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's part of the ministry, but it's a part of the ministry. It's one part.
Well, if it is not the time, then we will find that out.
Well, yeah, whatever. Sure. You know, that's, yeah. I mean, well, I kind of think it could be the time. It's just, I don't think we can, I just get a little, we can't keep thinking it's going to be like it was before.
Oh, I don't think it will be. I hope it will be.
You know,
I hope it'll be. I hope it will not be.
I don't know what it'll be, but I hope it's. You know,
well, maybe be a little closer to what Don Burnett was thinking should happen. You know, 40 years ago. I don't know, whatever. 39 years ago.
Well, I made a comment a couple nights ago that with a good heart, we pray for people long and hard, hours if necessary, often. And there were times when the flesh got weak and we quit. No doubt about it. I'm sure that happened as well. And we were doing that with a total lack of revelation of who Jesus is. We were calling out his name, da-da-da-da, and we were wondering if we were his duality of Christ, the oneness of Christ. You know, we didn't even know what we were doing. And kind of like Matthew 7, the Lord was still honoring that. But I believe, waiting for God to prove, but I have faith that if we pray for someone now with the revelation and understanding of who Jesus really is, the perfect sacrifice as flesh and bone, overcame everything that Satan threw at him, and use him as the tip of the spear when you pray deliverance against any demon, I suspect they are going to flee a little bit faster than in the past. Simply because we are praying a more effective and spiritually correct prayer. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't mean it's not going to be long, but I'm going to stand in faith that it will be, that there'll be less of them than last time to get God's work done. Simply because we're going to be pointing to a Jesus that we know is a man.
I hesitate to bring this up, but for the record, man, I with others prayed hours of deliverance, hours in Shell Lake, in houses and homes with people around here. So it's not like, you know, and it wasn't a burden to be doing it. You know, so I'm not, but I'm just, you know.
I think we are better at sensing the will and guiding of the Lord than we used to be. We're better at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be very helpful when we're praying for deliverance. Mm-hmm. Just knowing the Lord's mind on this thing. No, you know, I don't know if we need their names, but knowing, you know, what.
That's my brother Charlie saying when I try to say only better.
Well done.
Because I do believe we all acknowledge that the Lord has been very, very kind and plentiful with us, with the Spirit, in our discussions. And I don't think that has left us. And I think that
a lot of practice with it, if you want to call it that.
Well,
a lot of experience with it.
And I think that there's goodness in recognizing the Spirit for the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's quicker.
Yeah, we just.
I mean, you know.
But we kind of know our way around the spiritual realm a little more than we were floundering. To a certain extent, back at that time. I don't think there would be the floundering now.
You know, we probably were doing much better until we had Wayne Orlick come in.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, because we were probably doing it much more pure before even being babes in it, you know. We were, because when you're a babe, you're leaning on the Lord, and you know,
like a child.
Yeah,
we were coming at it.
We had some real good insights, you know.
Yeah, but boy, the man had names for those things.
Yeah,
ooh, the man had
putting them in boxes.
There were thousands of names. We had to come up with names.
He'd go into a town, and the demons would be hollering out at people because they're afraid to. Wynn Worley's coming to town.
Yeah.
Well, we got reports from Wynn Worley that's what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not so much from the actual customer.
I don't know. I mean, certainly, you know, powerful things seem to be going on when he prayed for, you know. We had someone with an Indian.
Powerful things would go on no matter what. If somebody like him stood in a gap, you know.
Yes,
well, he's going to attract attention. I'm sure that's true. I mean, spiritual attention.
And I am not totally sure, but what the demons weren't playing along or of some sort. There wasn't some
They're
sort.
They're having fun with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were, and they were trying to suggest that Wynn Worley's way was the way to do it by really. It's a little bit like throwing Brer Rabbit in the briar patch. You know, whatever you do, don't throw me in the briar patch. Well, the briar patch is where you want to go. You know, I'm not sure about what the... I don't know. In retrospect, I wonder about whether we were just really drawn down a path that was a mistaken path. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you could argue what happened there was we went from following the leading of the Lord to listening to what a man had to say about what he knew.
Right.
Yeah.
We learned a bunch of lessons, a bunch of tools, a bunch of rules.
A bunch of stuff that we really couldn't find in the scriptures to support, but there it was. And right. I just told you. And
right.
And if we've learned anything over the last 20 years, we've gone, you know, if it doesn't sit here, probably doesn't belong.
Right.
And so we got to, you know.
Yeah, hello, that man could think up names. Well, or whatever.
And,
I don't know.
And,
yeah.
And that's not to say that someone, we could have a conversation with someone, and the anointing of the Lord could be on them, and they could, the anointing could then be passed on to us, and we could see, you know, they could say something that opens up something in the scriptures that lines up, and we go, I get it.
I kind of need to repent a little bit. I mean, yeah, I shouldn't have said, don't bring, there, somebody can come in and be of the Lord and give us knowledge or new. So I, that was kind of a wrong way to approach that. I repent of that. So,
well,
there could be some assistance. Not that we would.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they're like-minded, the Lord could be giving them something that to benefit us. You know.
But
it's kind of like how you. Oh, I'm sorry, Keith.
Joel Osteen's dad used to be deliverance. What was his name? Was it Don?
Don't know.
But you know, even that's a great example. So why is Joel Osteen's dad was in deliverance?
I think so, he was.
Why is his son not in it? I mean, why did he? Why, given all the resources the Lord has put at that man's feet, and all the blessings he's received, quote unquote, in the natural, that he has moved away from this particular thing.
He's moved away from a lot.
Exactly.
It sounds like
Willie, whatever his name was, that they asked him, well, why did you rob banks? The answer was, well, that's where the money was.
Well,
I think that's also the answer from Joel Osteen.
But you, well,
that's
you,
where the money is.
You, well, you, but you have to
ask
yourself.
Yeah, that's where the money is.
You, well, sure, okay, then you can say that, you know, if you have this on your heart and you're going, well, we're not in this for the money. We're in this because this is what God wants us to do. That's a pretty good answer. We're not in this for the money, but we're in this because God has placed it on our hearts. That's a pretty good answer.
But after all is said and done, if we approach deliverance because we're in a hurry, the demon knows it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to say.
That's absolutely so.
And so does the person.
Yeah.
And so if we say, well, let's hurry up and get this thing over with. If we ever think it, we've got a problem.
Hey, and you know what? Some nights that may be the case because everybody's just not in it.
Yeah.
But that's not what we want, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we want to be most of the time sincere and pray.
Do what needs to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
But I'm human, you know. There's sometimes and if I don't, and then I don't want to be there either. If I, you know, if I'm not feeling like I'm, then I need to leave.
But that's what we used to do, even out in Seattle. And we got a reputation for it. Rodney and Betty and Simon and Joanne and Faith. Simon or Faith wasn't along. Rodney and Betty, Joanne and I and Simon. And you know, he had a gift of discernment, unbelievable. And
was that Simon?
Yeah, for whatever other faults he might have, had. But he was praying with a girl for deliverance, and she was manifesting, you know. And there was another girl right behind him, a woman that was had her hand on him and praying for the same girl, and he was praying with him. And anyway, after this thing had left us, one girl, he turned around and prayed for the one that's praying for him, and she went into a full-blown manifestation. Huh. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have never been to Seattle. I've only heard bits and pieces of stories, and all I'm sure is, by and large, the pattern that Seattle had when there was no Chippewa influence was wrong. And I think we know that. And
it was wrong because of the impatience.
Well, it could be. I'll tell you a story. I know two people who we know very well from our body back then that were out praying for the pastor out there.
Yeah.
And after about 10 minutes, the pastor stood up and said, I need someone else to pray for me. Because these two people were very low-key.
Yeah.
Man, if you weren't paying attention, you weren't even sure they were praying because they were soft-spoken. And there wasn't enough showmanship going on.
Yeah.
And the pastor said, I need some loud, boisterous prayer warriors. And brought in two people who probably
did. Somebody speaking with authority.
Yeah, well, sounded like they were. But, I mean, just because you make a lot of noise doesn't mean you have authority.
No.
I mean, as we know. But, and the people who were praying for him were elders at our church at the time. And I know who they were. And if those two people were praying for me, I would be so happy because God's work was going to get done.
Yeah.
And so I'm only saying for your benefit, Keith, I think we got it. The things that happened out west were not right, and I don't think we're going to fall into that trap as God moves here.
And, you know, the Chippewa thing was only because it was God.
Exactly.
But the difference, the thing that we need to do is be patient. Love is patient. Is it?
Well, on one hand, Keith, we've been really patient. We've been waiting 20 years. I mean, how much more patient do you want us to be?
But what I meant, when you're praying with somebody,
you made the point.
Yeah, don't get the thought in your head.
Oh,
hurry this thing up! I gotta hurry this thing up because he can read your thoughts.
Well,
anyway,
maybe not to get into stuck into a rut, but you just say, "I am going to pray with you until God moves."
Until we get the thing done.
Until God moves, and if I can't. I can't hold up the end of my bargain, I'll tell you, but I'm not on a time limit today. I've got all day.
Did
you make that declaration?
I remember quite a few times that it just looked like we weren't getting anywhere. And I just said, okay, I'm just going to pray to the Lord until he gives direction. And we just sat there and others prayed and I kept asking for discernment. Prayers, and you know, after a while, all of a sudden something came, and then boom, you know, there was a manifestation, and it wasn't long after that, and there was a deliverance. But you had to have the patience to sit there and wait on God too.
Exactly.
You know.
And then you had to be able to tell the person if they could, you know, ask them if they could tell the difference between them and their spirit. If a demon moves into somebody's life, what does the person, after a while, the person thinks that that's him or her?
Oh, yeah.
Don't they?
Well, that's part of, though, I think, like we've been saying, though, that's when the person's got to be willing to know there's something in their life they want to get rid of.
Yeah. And
you know,
I think we're going to see a lot of it.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah. I mean, people are like, they're desperate out there. There's a lot of people that aren't Christians.
But desperate. What we do have,
you know,
I'll tell you something else. Something that just happened today or yesterday. Jeff Colstead, who owns the flooring industry, something in Menominee, his wife's name is Donna. He left his real wife before and married this girl. And but they have a different person that works for him, who also is, they have a Jehovah Witness guy that wants to become partner. He bought part of it, and Jeff doesn't pay attention to him. But this Donna, Jeff's wife, and this other girl, know Pablo. And anyway, and he was real happy when he heard that they said, how do we understand the Bible? how do we understand it? And he said, ask Pablo. And they were happy to hear him say that, because that means that the witnessing has been working. See, I witnessed to this guy for a long, long time. He's a friend of Dale's age.
Mm-hmm. And I think that will our, and I, you know, it's not understanding exactly. It's, I don't know, having the Bible be part of us.
Yeah.
The way that it has been.
Well, what has happened right now?
We are the epistles.
Is it,
in measure.
Okay, so we pray for somebody for deliverance, and they seem to be free of their whatever it was. And so now, so they say, well, now what do we do? So what are you going to tell them?
Fill it with the word.
Listen to the word.
Listen to the word. Have the word take residence.
That's what they did in Ezekiel. They heard the word of God until it brought the sinews together and the bones of the together. And yeah. And so anyway, so here we got, you know, a nucleus of people. We don't know what to tell them. You know, so get yourself have you done that anyway? You've told people just to get yourself some scriptures and listen to them? Mm-hmm. You know, get a Bible and listen to it?
And maybe that was, to go back to a question I asked earlier, what do we do, how do we prevent that void being filled? What do we do?
We try to
listen to the Word.
If the Word is going in that house, it should not be real congenial to the returning demon.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that Jeff is listening to what Pablo has to say. You know, and I used to talk to Jeff a lot, and he wanted me to marry him and Donna, and I don't know what happened. It never happened. But they've been married 20 years. I think, was it 20 years ago that we were talking about getting married? Where'd the years go by?
Well, that's funny, isn't it?
And I'm 84, and I would have been 64 then. Maybe. You don't think of 20 years until you think of from 64 to 84. That's 20 years.
Oh, yeah, it is. We were all pretty darn young 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I was just a kid.
I think it is going to be a different deal. And when the Lord puts us in it, we're not going to have questions.
Yeah, I tell you, I am asking on a constant basis, I'm asking for God to put His anointing on me and on us.
Yeah. I don't think we'll have questions. We won't have questions. You'll just do what you know to do.
Yeah.
And the knowing will be from the Lord, not from your own.
It's been more of my prayer, too.
Yeah.
Change me. Fill me.
Yeah, He'll do it.
Yeah.
What can He do with a willing vessel?
Mm. Yeah. You know,
what's God's limitation with someone who freely gives their will to be used?
Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Who's going to deliver me from this death doomed or what? I don't know what he said. He said, I thank God for Jesus Christ. And So he gives the impression that he's going to get delivered from whatever these things were. And, you know, I think he did. But did Paul have problems?
Paul was pretty delivered by chapter 8, didn't he?
Well, but he did, but...
Self-deliverance?
Well, does that seem like it?
Well, I think it is. That is a powerful chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Paul couldn't possibly have those problems at 7. Did he?
Well, what's exciting to me is how he said, I thank God for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we can say. I thank God for Jesus Christ.
So he knew where deliverance came from anyway.
Well, you know, I think I've had things lifted that I don't think were a demon. That I knew I had. It was a shortcoming in me or a fault, you know. So some of that applies in that 6, 7, and 8, you know, Romans. There's things you can be doing, and then finally you just go, I'm sick of this, Lord. Take this from me. Now, I don't know if it's a deliverance or not, or no coffin or not, or anything that, you know, and I think he does do that. He honors that and lifts a lot of that stuff.
I think sometimes there might be a mix of things.
Yeah, everything is not a spirit, you know. I mean, some of it's our own, just flesh. You know, flesh is a big factor, too. That has nothing to do necessarily with a demon.
When you say that you're struggling in an area, and you wish you weren't, but you can't overcome it.
Right.
And you, you know.
Turn it over to the Lord and say, save me, help me, you know, and he does.
And he can honor that.
A lot of times.
Yeah. Sometimes it's... I don't know. But that's why I'm having the last night.
If you continually fight against something that you just can't, then it's very likely a spirit, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, it's. I don't think these things are simple. Certainly, if there's any area of weakness in ourselves, the devil is very pleased to be able to assist that area of weakness. You know? How do you call that? Deliverance? Yeah.
Ask and ye shall receive, you know?
You think about the setting of Scripture where, you know, Christ asks, you know, Peter, who am I? And he turns around and says, you're the Christ. And Jesus responds by saying, that was not revealed by flesh and blood. So, you know, the Holy Spirit in it. And then he goes on to talk about how he's going to have to be crucified. And Peter steps up and says, no, we're not going to allow it. And Jesus spins on him and says, get behind me, Satan. You know, so there's Peter saying, no, we're not going to let this bad thing happen to you. And Jesus goes, okay, devil, knock it off. It's, you know. Because he knows it's not a bad thing, but it's going to be a glorious thing. But, you know, Peter couldn't see that from where he was. And so, I guess my point for relating that is that there are oftentimes...
He said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes.
He said, for you reason as a man and not as...
Right.
The savers of things of men.
Yes, you're worried about my life here on this earth and...
Yeah.
That's not really what's important right now. But I always say that to say how easy it is to, we have to be on our toes. You can be fooled. And we want the Lord in it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Satan's crafty, there's no question.
If one of us gets fooled, hopefully somebody else discerns it.
Amen.
You know?
Well, my point.
And it gets set free.
Mm-hmm. The point is, if Peter can be duped, where stand I?
Yeah.
It's like, after 3.5 years under the training and the seeing everything that Jesus did and what he said, and he still gets hooked.
It was not a surprising thing that Peter said there, though.
Oh, no.
Anticipating that hey, what really needs to happen here is that Jesus is going to get killed, crucified on a cross. I mean, you know, that's not, I get it. You know, that's just not that way.
Well, I agree. I think it's totally, I mean, as the scriptures point out, Peter's thinking like a man, and Jesus is
like a man.
And Jesus is going, you don't see the big picture.
And he's thinking of a man that he loves, you know?
Yeah,
that's right.
And he's showing love and care. And Jesus kind of goes,
and then he's thinking about, later on, he's thinking about a man he didn't necessarily love.
Yeah, right.
So, what about John? What's he going to do?
Yeah.
And what if I let him live till I come? What is that? Is that your business?
Right.
You follow me.
What about denying him? But then there wasn't only Peter that denied him. No.
It wasn't, but Peter was the one on hand that made it clear. You know.
Right.
Well, poor Peter got made an example of because the Lord knew, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" You know. And finally, he's going, what more do I have to say? And then he says, it gets him to say three times, he loves, you're going to deny me. Dismisses him and goes,
well, that was kind of two different cases.
Peter got let off a little easy, it seems to be.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is that you don't really see Peter responding. You don't see any negative thing from Peter. You know, he took rebuke. In a good way.
Yeah,
he did.
Like David.
Yeah, that probably was his strength.
He had a heart.
And later on, when Paul rebuked him, because he hobnobbed with the Jews, and when the Jews came in, and he let the Gentiles slide to the side. Fellowship with the Jews. Paul said to him, if you being a Jew live like the Gentiles, why are you trying to make the Gentiles live like the Jews?
Yeah, I think Paul had a little sermon there.
Imagine that look from Jesus, though, when after the third denial of Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. Of course, Peter's heart was different. But the one that denied Jesus. His name was Jasper, what was it?
Judas.
And, you know, Judas went out and repented, but it didn't make a difference.
Yeah, it wasn't a true repentance.
It wasn't a real repentance. It just like...
he was sorry, but he wasn't going to change.
Yeah.
He couldn't change.
There was condemnation in it.
Yeah. He just couldn't overcome the condemnation.
Like Jacob and his twin.
Esau.
When the Bible says it, and David, I love
Jacob.
I loved, and Esau, I hated. Why? It had to be something different in their personality.
The heart. God knows the hearts.
Yeah.
He knew he'd have Peter in the end.
That was a nasty stunt that Esau pulled.
Selling his
birthright for a mess of pottage.
Yeah.
You know, his priorities were just plain wrong there.
The birthright didn't mean that much to him.
No. And it barely meant quite a bit to Jacob. You know?
Enough so he deceived. Well, Jacob, the name Jacob meant deceiver.
Yeah.
And so God changed his name to Israel.
Those are funny stories, though.
Yeah. He wrestled all night with the angel. Mm-hmm. I haven't had any of those.
Closest I've come is deliverance. Yeah. I haven't had any of those either.
I'm too old to wrestle all night anyway.
Oh, only in the flesh. You don't know what will happen in the spirit.
I don't think you're too old to have your hip go out of joint, though, Keith.
That's all I need. I have to have a wheelchair with a fixed up hip.
Right.
Well, is that a good place to stop tonight?
Yeah.
Love you all.